7 and 8, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him for the marriage of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily, is come. And his wife hath made herself ready. Now, how did she make herself ready? And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now, this could never be more appropriate than right now. The reason, as I've told you several times, a year ago, in January last year, I just said I'm not going to issue any more things about the Middle East for 1 year, because I knew some things were brewing that were going to lead to what you see up there going on in the Middle East. Now, did I expect it to be as detrimental as it is now? Well, I didn't expect it to be that quick, but it sure is that quick. I probably made that worse than it was. Mike, can you straighten that mess out? Now, whenever you talk about the bride, it's supposed to be the earthly shadow of a heavenly relationship. And let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. After what we've taught for the last 30 years here at least, we know that the reason she's clean and white is because she has been selected based on her response to God's Spirit, and that she has continued faithful and will be judged for what degree of faithfulness she portrayed. But at the same time that we look at this and we honestly realize from what we've gleaned from the other scriptures is that the only righteousness we have is the righteousness he imputes to us. Now, if you've been observing what's happening in Washington, and you've been looking at what's coming on news, just this morning, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel applauded what Trump had done. He said, I built a wall around Israel, and he said, it's worked. And he applauded what our president had done. If you go back and look in the book of Daniel, you'll discover that the next thing that's supposed to happen in Israel that is of great significance is a shaking of the land. I think that's going to occur at some point in time within the next 3 years. When that shaking occurs, all heck is going to break out in the Middle East. And the next significant event that occurs during that time will be when Israel decides to attack. And remember, Israel is the king of the south, decides to attack Syria, Lebanon, Turkey. And when they do that, these nations have already planned, and they have changed their defenses where the Israel tanks won't work as well as they have in the past. Israel almost lost the last war. They will lose this one. They will be driven back south, and they will be trapped in the Negev for some 1,260 days or thereabouts. Now, the only reason that she is arrayed in fine linen at the judgment seat of Christ is, this is written in Revelation 19, 7 and 8, and surely it would apply to us. And I think when you talk about this wife in fine linen, you're talking about somebody that served God in the local church. This is written to the church. And it was because she was faithful to the Lord for a good deal of her life, all the way to the end. This is imputed righteousness. It is something that you learn after you've been saved. Up until that time, this is a sort of a great mystery. But after you get saved, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I wish I had understood that when I was younger. But just as we know that it's made very clear in the New Testament, perhaps not quite as clear in the Old Testament, but that's why this is a better testament. God has fully exposed himself. We know that when he comes, it's going to be a time of great rejoicing. And we know that the Lord has kept every jot and tittle of the law. We know that the person that tries to serve Christ after he's saved, I do not believe he's saved until he accepts the grace that God offers. And then when he accepts the grace, he is saved. He will forever be saved. Most people don't learn that until after they are saved, because it's not all that easy to understand it. But Jesus, who fulfilled all righteousness and every jot and tittle of the law, did it for all men. The problem is, most of them don't recognize it. But those who do accept him as Savior, they accept his grace. They do exactly what they're told to do. And afterwards, they can understand a great deal more than they ever understood before. He said, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon, the tale of Megiddo. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they shall see his shame. Many people, after they're saved, are excited, depending on their own temperament, and they are genuinely saved. But after they are saved, after they have exercised repentance toward God and put their faith in Jesus Christ, they're genuinely saved, and they face a life ahead of them where they have to make some decisions about whether or not they want to follow his teachings, whether or not they do want to learn of him, whether they learn about themselves as they learn about him. And there are going to be a lot of people at the judgment seat of Christ that were genuinely saved, continued for a while in the faith, some very short-lived, but nevertheless they were saved. Others were faithful for quite a while, but they did not endure to the end. How much do you think they'll get in a reward? I'll leave that in your hands, because it's something you have to make out for yourself. What about the one in the parable of the sower? The one who was faithful to the end. Did you ever notice that the word that is used down there indicates that this was not a perfect person? That it indicates it was a person that guarded and considered the word of God precious. But they guarded it. They defended it. And I hope you'll also notice that it does not say they were always faithful every day, every moment, every second. I have been running to the Lord to ask for forgiveness ever since the night I was saved. I still run to the Lord for forgiveness. and I'm just as saved as I was then, and I'm going to heaven. The word naked does not mean pick Jaybird naked. It doesn't mean like we used to go to the creek and we'd go way upstream where nobody could see us. And we'd go in naked, Jaybird. Look like a Jaybird, all feathers taken off. This is talking about most of it will be exposed to what we are. And this is talking about a condition where the person is actually partially clothed. He either has on a beach craft, like the Indians wore, a beach cloth that holds up and doesn't expose their privates, or it has on a short gown that goes down just below the knees. So you won't see their privates, but what you will see is somebody that didn't serve God. You say, how long will that condition last? It's like you don't want to know. Quite frankly, it's something that's in God's hands, and I leave it there. But I do believe that there is going to be a rapture of the saved on the seventh trumpet rapture. I believe there is going to be a judgment seat of all the saved. I believe some are going to be clothed in garments of brightness, robes, the light of God's Son in them, and others are going to walk around, and they'll be glorious, and they'll have on clothes, but quite frankly, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And for a long time, how long? Well, I think for all eternity, but I could be wrong, that it's going to be apparent. They're going to be happy, but they're going to see forever that they didn't serve God. So I guess I do believe in a split rapture. And I try to emphasize that to people. Some of them can take it, some of them can't. Some leave, some don't. But I'm going to have to answer for everything I teach and preach in a church. And this is something that I must do. Because when I come before the Lord, I don't want to be a man's work that's burned. Because I can suffer loss. What, salvation? No. Though he himself should be saved. Yet so is by. I look up all these words to make sure there's no question about what they mean. The word by, preposition, literally, the translation is through. You say, well, that's the same as by. It's clearer, though, isn't it? As by fire. The local church is his earthbound wife. As member, we are parts of his body, his flesh, and his bones. So let's start at Ephesians 5:30-32. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He's going to tell you about this mystery. Those church members who do not defile their garments, walking with him here, will walk with him in fine white linen in the New Jerusalem, which is the kingdom city after the millennial city. And then he indicates that there won't be a whole lot that will accept that. When I got saved, that was the first time I ever honestly realized how saved I was. How did that happen? He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And ye shall receive rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I used to carry a very heavy burden, even though I was saved. Didn't take me very long to learn that how saved I was, that he'd never leave me nor forsake me. But I get to realize that this is not a child's game. There are going to be a lot of people at the judgment seat of Christ who got saved legitimately. And they may have continued, put on a flashy show, made everybody see how saved they were. I actually rejoiced that they were saved and didn't have to go to hell. But then they began to defile their garments. And instead of realizing that the same Jesus who fulfilled every jot and tittle in the New Testament, they don't realize that they say, well, he fulfilled all the law and he took all my sins. You're quite right. But the truth is, that also applies to the overcomer. He learns, and the Holy Spirit teaches him, you can't do what he did. You say, well, I'm getting out there and I'm getting on fire for Jesus. He says, the local church is his earthbound wife. As members, we are parts of his body, his flesh, and his bones. But we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. This is a great mystery. It's not a mystery anymore, because it's been revealed in the New Testament. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Those church members who do not defile their garments walking with him here will walk with him in fine white linen in the New Jerusalem. They will also walk with him in the millennial reign. Now I want you to know what he says in this verse, last verse. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis. A few names even in Sardis, the church at Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. You say, well, it's not possible to defile your garments after you've been saved. Oh, it certainly is. Because the less confidence you have in Christ, and the more confidence you have in your own ability to keep the law after you're saved, my friend, you're not going to walk with him in white. I'm not saying you're not going to go to heaven. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Who made we worthy? Jesus Christ. How'd he do it? He extended grace to me. And I believed it, received it, asked him to save me. And then I began to understand the great mystery. If Jesus fulfilled all of the law, for those in the Old Testament, when he died, that were believers in the Old Testament, were trusting him, then why didn't he do the same for the people that were church members after he saved them? He did. But a lot of people will never accept this. We've got a lot of missionary Baptists that are convinced, once they get saved, no sweat. Well, those people get to the point where they build up a very high opinion of themselves. No, been there, done that. But the truth of the matter is, they also defile their garments. They still sin. As much? No. But they can regress. You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose the joy of it. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Who made them worthy? Jesus. He's the only man who ever lived who could say, in truth and honesty, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's what he said. The church members who do not defile their garments walking with him here will walk with him in fine linen in the New Jerusalem. Thou hast a few names in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, for they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. There are a lot of people that get saved and they rejoice. They even learn about what landmarkers are. They even learn about being faithful to God. They even get an excitement out of it. And they should. But it should be a settled thing in their lives. There will be many people standing in front of the judgment seat of Christ who were bona fide church members, but who did not have enough interest in God to make their lives a testimony of His greatness. If you'll push that up a little bit, Mike. I mean down, so we'll get the... Now, how does He do that? His Word washes our outer garments by submission. I gave a lesson on doulos, which means slave, bond servant. And I told the story of the man who, of those who, after they believed, after they were saved in the Old Testament, if they got a good master and they realized it, when time came for him to free them, they asked him to put a little thing through their ear, just a hole. His whole family was protected by it. And that's the truth. Now, you can look for it yourself. Just look up the word ear, and you'll discover it in the Bible. Now, this is something that really you can't learn until you understand just how saved you are. And you can't really understand how saved you are until you understand that it was God's grace that saved you, but you were saved when you came as instructed by grace. And when you received Him as Savior, from that moment forward, you can understand all this if you're interested enough. The question is, what's the major interest in your life? How much have you submitted to Christ? Ephesians 5, 25, 27. Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. There are a lot of husbands who have a hard time learning to love their wives. And there are a lot of wives who have a hard time loving their husbands. And there are a lot of people who just don't want to waste the time to learn any more about the Lord because they're quite happy here. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, what good does it do you to know this? I don't get discouraged like I used to. God saved me. I know He saved me. I know He lives in me. I know He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I know that I'm trying to serve Him. I know that I still do things I shouldn't, think thoughts I shouldn't. But there's a simple solution for that. I just run to Him and ask Him to forgive me. You say, well, what makes you think He will? He said He would never leave me nor forsake me. Why does He do that? That He might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the Word. Now you're looking at this for yourself. This is why He did it. That He might sanctify, agaso, cleanse it, set it apart with the washing of water by the Word. That's the words you're looking at on the screen. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that should be holy and without blemish. Go ahead and put the next one on there, Mike. You say, when did you learn most of this? After I got saved. You say, well, why didn't you learn it when He stuck out His hand in grace? I don't understand that. But I was taught this, that it was by grace. But until you have enough interest to come to Him, and you're desperate, you don't know what else to do. A person like that, it is the earthly shadow of a heavenly relationship. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. You are spiritually united with the Son of God at the instant of the new birth. Forever being delivered from the condemnation of God with the absolute assurance of heaven. But you were saved for the purpose of fulfilling. But you were saved for the purpose of fulfillment. Fulfilling the role of fellowshipping daily with Him. This is something that when you do something wrong, you think you lose your salvation or you... No, you get out of fellowship with Him. You're not quite sure what you did wrong, but you know this much. Something's wrong. So you ask Him to tell you, show you. You say, how long will it take? I don't know. But I've been operating that way for a long, long time. I am forever delivered from the condemnation of God. When did I learn that? After I got saved. You say, oh no, you knew that before you were saved. No, I didn't. I was guilty, 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 headed for hell, headed for hell, headed for hell. I didn't know that. But oh, I understood grace. And I understood hell. You were eternally, spiritually united with the Son of God at the instant of the new birth. Forever being delivered from the condemnation of God with the absolute assurance of heaven. Maybe I shouldn't tell you this ahead of time because I didn't learn it until afterwards. Maybe you won't understand it. But I understood it the night I was saved. And I realized what a fool I'd been. But you were saved for the purpose of fulfilling the role of fellowshipping daily with Him as His earthbound wife. That's what you are. You're a doulos. You say, well, I don't want to be a doulos. You'll love it. You'll love it. A doulos is a bondservant, a slave. Can you think of having a better husband that is one that is faultless? Do you have a faultless husband that you are saved, you live with? Is there such a thing as a faultless husband? Jesus is. Same yesterday, today, and forever. But you were saved for the purpose of fulfilling the role of fellowshipping daily with Him as His earthbound wife. How well you fulfill that role here determines the degree of fellowship you will have with Him during His millennial reign and the heaven age which follows. It is this role we are to fulfill now as His earthbound wife. Is it too much? You think I can't answer that question? Yeah, it is too much. So what do? I realize that Jesus fulfilled it for me. You say, well, good, you can quit coming to church and doing anything. Oh, no. You think I'm going to do that to somebody that saved me when I was helpless? That keeps me by His power? That's a mistake a lot of people that believe you can lose your salvation get caught up in. They spend their whole life trying to work maybe what they already have. It is this role we are to fulfill now as His earthbound wife, to which Paul primarily refers in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, to understand who will dwell with Him as His heavenly wife. You need to examine Paul's instruction to this earthbound wife. Here they are. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you, in particular, so love his wife as himself. The Lord knows, I wish I had been a better husband to Imogene than I was. Oh, I was faithful with her. I was faithful to her. I never had relations with another woman. God knows I thought about it. I wish I'd been more faithful. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, are you sad all the time because you weren't? No. Because I know God forgave me for what I thought. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself. I loved myself too much. And I loved God too little. So now that we understand Paul's primary purpose in writing this discourse, let's examine the role of wife we should be playing. And I ask you, are you playing this role right now? For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. The church is not a great universal invisible body. It is a local visible assembly. Many of you sitting here are members of one of his bodies, namely this one, or some other church that has the same rule of faith and practice. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And they say, what am I supposed to learn about that? That holds true for both men and women. And husbands need to learn this. It took me a long time to learn it, or I should say to practice it. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and they shall be joined, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Imogen and I were one flesh, but it was pretty one-sided. God gave her to me, and she got the bad end of the deal. But I thank God for how he used her in my life. The husband of the church loved his own body enough to die for her. Surely church members should love him more than their earthly parents, relatives, and friends in the flesh. It doesn't mean that they should hate them, but they should love the local church and those in it who are his brothers and sisters in Christ more than their earthly parents, relatives, and friends in the flesh. You say, I can't do that. That's why many people don't end up serving the Lord very long. Luke 14:25-27. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned. Doesn't say so, but I imagine very quickly. And said unto them, if any man come to me, remember what he said to the first two disciples that followed him? He said, what seekest thou? They told him, and he said, come and see. Hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also. That doesn't mean you're supposed to hate them. It means that you're supposed to put everything called your family ahead of the desires of your family, your earthly family, if they're crossways with God's will. Yea, and his own life also. He cannot be my disciple. The word is disciplos, and it means taught one. You know, I learned a whole lot more about Christ when I started putting him where I should. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I'm going to tell you what I've learned. Oh, after all these years. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Because when I begin to understand how it can be easy and light, I begin to understand I just need to wait for him and pray to him and trust him to take over the mess. And sometimes he uses me in it, sometimes he doesn't. But until you learn that, you're not going to be a very good church member. You're just not going to be a very good church member. And that's the reason I believe in a split rapture. The people that came here as landmarkers, I love them all very much. But some of them won't keep coming here. You say, well, does that make you sad? Yeah, makes me real sad. But what can you do? I just do what he called me to do. I just do what he called me to do. You say, well, that's pretty selfish. It really is. Because I feel I've been here long enough, I've learned to rely on Jesus. And whatever people do, they're just going to have to do on their own. I got finished on time.